This is Talking Business. I'm joined now by Paul Zaradis, with an X, the founder and chief investment officer of Ausbil Investment Management, and one of the legends of Australia's investment management industry, if I may say so, Paul. It's great to talk to you.
Great to be here, and thanks very much for the intro.
Well, you've been doing it for 39 years and involved in Ausbil for 21. So you're one of the few people around who's been through a few cycles. How does this one strike you versus previous ones?
Look, I guess they're always a little different, but I guess this time round, what we have seen, certainly with equity markets globally, that we've had a pretty easy run for a number of years, but only just recently there has been some concerns in the marketplace, and certainly late last year we did see a bit of a sell-off. 2008 was really the last low point, and we did see almost 10 years of consecutive ongoing growth. But certainly last year there was a bit of a concern that that growth was slowing, and markets took a bit of a turn, and certainly was a pretty tough time for most investment managers over the past 3 or 4 months of the last year of 2018.
Yes, well, so in fact, 2018 was terrible, a very difficult year for everybody, and in fact, your main fund, the Australian Active Equity Fund, didn't do very well at all. It underperformed, Paul.
Well, yeah. Yeah, well, that's something that obviously we're not overly happy about, but I guess that over a 21-year period, you can refer back to our long-term history, which has been a very good performance. Delivering.
I'll interject with what your performance since inception has been, which is 9.5% per annum versus benchmark of 7.8%. So that's all right.
Yeah, I mean, that's on a compound basis. That's actually a pretty good return. So, but certainly as an active manager, sometimes you have a period of underperformance, but clearly, you know, what we are trying to do is each year is deliver a really good outcome. And certainly the last quarter was a bit tough. But we have started this year looking pretty good.
How do you structure the business? You've got a number of funds, I think, quite a few. How many funds have you got?
Yeah, we have a number of different strategies. We have a number of different clients which have either invest directly with us in individual mandates or via unit trusts. But we have a number of different strategies. We have the Active Equities Port, which is the main offering, which I manage on a day-to-day basis, including the... We also have a concentrated portfolio, which is a concentrated version of our active equity. We have emerging leaders. We have microcap, which have been around for quite some time and, again, have very good long-term track records. And we've also launched just recently, as in last year, an income fund, and that's performing pretty well as well. So there's a number of domestic equity funds that we do manage. We've also have a 130-30, which is a long-short strategy, again, that is trying to take out some of the bumps when we see a bit of a downturn, and that performed pretty well last year as well. So there's a number of different offerings that we offer here in Australia. But recently we have been expanding into other asset classes, and by doing that we've actually brought new team members within the organisation to take charge of that and not to dilute what we do with Australian equities, but in a way actually complement what we do by actually getting their input from an international perspective. We have launched a global small cap fund, which looks pretty exciting to us. It's an offering that I think is a need here in Australia, and certainly something that has had very good reception when we've actually been approaching a number of our clients, and that's been a positive. But also we have launched a global infrastructure fund as well. We have a four-man team, which we put together late last year, very high calibre individuals, and again, it's a pretty good offering as well. So there's a number of products that we have, not only just domestically but also internationally, invest internationally, which do cater not only for the domestic market here in Australia but also can be offered via our partner New York Life globally as well. So we're pretty excited about the prospects of these new products.
The ownership of the business has changed a bit over the years as well. The BIL, I think, stands for the Bank in Luxembourg.
Bank of International Luxembourg.
Are they still part of the business?
No, they've been out of the business for some time now, about 4 or 5 years now, 5 years. The original formation of Ausbil was There was five partners, which I was one of, the founder, and then also Bank of International Luxembourg, BIL, and that's how we formed the name Ausbil. So we're pretty imaginative, I must say, when we actually come up with that name. But it has.
Well, I remember it was also called, it was called Ausbil Dexia too. There was something.
Yeah, look, it did change to Ausbil Dexia further down the track, and part of the reason was there was BIL had an economic interest with two other European banks. They end up merging together and they called themselves Dexia. So we became known as Ausbil Dexia. But about 5 years ago, we reverted back to Ausbil once we went into partnership with New York Life. They bought their Dexia's interest, which has been a fantastic outcome for us and certainly given us the ability to actually offer some of our products globally. That's part of the strategy that we've put in place over the past few years. So we're pretty excited, as I said, about the prospect. And I guess that, you know, for a fund manager, you need to have the ability to actually answer the needs for all your clients, but also to have the ability to attract good, smart people within the organisation. And that's what we have been able to do. And part of the way that we do that is by developing other products which we think are of good standing and certainly of institutional grade. That's where we are today.
Yes, well, you certainly are expanding and you're launching all these extra new products. That'll give you an opportunity to bring your investment strategies and methods to global companies.
Yeah, look, I think that is right. I mean, I must say that this has been in plan for some time. It's not something that we've just recently introduced or thought it was a good idea. I think that, you know, from our perspective, in order to launch new products, you need to have the systems, you need to have compliance structures, you need to have support around you. And that's what I have been doing with the business over the past years of expanding the number of people to actually cater for that. We've obviously introduced a new portfolio management system, which again is to cater for our requirements, and then actually recruiting and getting people together to take charge of these new products, which do have interest in those products in the sense of direct investments, and also are rewarded on the strength or otherwise of how well these products do. So there we do have all our interests aligned in actually delivering the right outcome for our clients.
So just back to the state of the market and how things are going, how do you look ahead now, 2019 and beyond? Do you think, I suppose the bottom line is, do you think we're in a bear market, or is that was what we saw last quarter, a correction within a bull market?
Yeah, look, that's a very good question, Alan, and I think that, you know, we won't know that until a little further down the track. You know, the view is that, you know, certainly we have seen a long expanding market for a number of years. Back in 2008, it's been almost uninterrupted. But certainly that all came to a head late last year. I think there was a number of reasons for that. You know, one was that, you know, we have been seeing interest rates increasing globally because we were seeing a pretty strong recovery in global activity. We had to correct interest rates from their very low point that were established back in 2008. We have seen valuations move up, was part of it. That all came to a bit of an end when there was a number of what I described as bushfires around the world, which were impacting confidence and also markets. So those bushfires are, you know, obviously the Brexit, what's happening in Europe, what's happening in the US, you know, the trade wars that have been going on globally, and also particularly with that of China. But all these things, to my way of thinking, potentially have the ability to actually correct itself or be extinguished. And if that is the case, we could actually see the cycle continue, because what we are seeing globally around the world by all the authorities is they want to be accommodative. They do want to make sure that they don't force a slowdown or a recession. They are far more responsive in the sense of their interest rate settings. So if that is the case and we can control some of these issues or extinguish some of these fires as I described them, as in bushfires, I think the outlook is still pretty positive. But, you know, you still need to be a little bit cautious. There's no two ways about it. But I think that, but equally, you don't want to be overly cautious in the sense of, because there is some opportunities. We have seen interest rates come back. We have seen valuations come back. And I think growth profile, to our way of thinking, is still looking reasonably promising. So if that is the case, we could see the cycle continue.
Yeah, well, I was going to say you're not allowed to say I don't know. You have to take a position.
Oh, we do.
So it sounds like your position is cautious optimism.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to describing it. Certainly, you know, we are positioned for the market to continue to recover. You know, we are of the view that in the not too distant future we'll see an outcome which will be positive as far as the tariff differences in the US and also China. We are seeing stimulatory action happening in China, which I think will be positive. I think Europe, you know, there is some issues there, and that's going to take a little while to resolve itself. But having said that, you know, Draghi has also said that he'll be responsive to the requirements. So therefore, that is a backdrop will be positive. And the only uncertainty that I see, which may linger along for a little while, is the UK. That seems to be a bit of an issue, which is unlikely to resolve itself shortly, but there is still prospect that could be the case. So taking all that into account, and here in Australia, I think that, you know, we do have an environment where growth has been surprising the upside. We do see employment remaining reasonably strong. There is an issue surrounding housing right now in the sense of it coming back, and also concern about the consumer. But we are heading into an election, and we're also heading into the prospect that we may actually get some tax cuts, which the consumer may actually regard as positive, and that could be a pretty good backdrop as well for markets if that is the case.
Yes, we do usually get some stimulus in
we
an
do,
election
don't
year,
we?
Don't we?
So I think that regardless of which party is elected, I mean, the platform will be spending. I think that will certainly come out loud and clearly during the election process and program. No doubt that both parties are talking of some of personal tax cuts. There's obviously some other issues surrounding franking and also capital gains tax by well, the Labor government, but I think that's well and truly understood and known. But I think both parties are also talking about, or have been talking about, infrastructure spend again, which is quite elevated right now. But that is a pretty good backdrop in order to keep the economy going. So, you know, we've had 28 years of consecutive growth, which has been quite incredible. 1990 was the last year that we saw a recession. I'm old enough to remember that, and I'm old enough to live through that, I must say. But I still think the outlook, as I was saying, is reasonably positive over the next period. But there is some you still need to be mindful that there is some issues that need to be addressed, and if those issues aren't addressed, perhaps we may see the market come back. But the way I'm seeing things is that it's to everyone's interest, particularly the authorities and also governments, to resolve these things. So hopefully that will be the right outcome.
Good on you, Paul. Thank you.
Not a problem, Alan. Always nice to speak to you.
I'm talking to Paul Tsiradas, who is the founder and chief investment officer of Ausbil Investment Management.